This week's mailbag comes to us from Betsy. Hey Lisa, I wanted to write to you to let you know the long-term value I have gotten from the 100 Days program and the Sunday Basket. Last November, Henry, my oldest son, had a life-threatening medical incident that ended up being autoimmune encephalitis. He has many other medical issues, but this was the most taxing. Many hospitalizations, including a week-long one in another city, and irrational behavior from the brain swelling created total havoc. I was also exiting one business and starting another, and writing a book. I did nothing on my home or paper organization from November 12th until June 1st. But because I had a system and a structure, my home remained organized. It was cluttered, but everything had a place and everything was more or less in its place. On June 1st, my husband and younger son Sam went out of town and I started decluttering. Within a few hours, my closet was back in shape, Sam's room was decluttered, medications were decluttered and organized, clutter was out of the living areas, and the kitchen was completely shipshape. Tonight, I tackled the paper. While it had piled up, it was all in one place, a laundry basket. In 2 hours, I had gone through it all and placed it in slash pockets. It's great to be decluttered again. It's also great to know that I have a system that works, even in completely chaotic situations, and that I can take back control over my home and paperwork so easily when circumstances cause it to get out of control. Thank you so much for all that you do. Love, Betsy. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I want to help set you up for the most productive fall you've ever had of your entire life. Now, I often say that organization happens in three phases. First is decluttering, second is increasing productivity, and that leads to a more productive life. It is, I would say, nearly impossible to increase productivity first and then organize and then declutter. Like, you declutter, you organize, and from that, you have extra time and energy that allows you to focus on productivity. Productivity comes from a couple different areas, and it's going to take me a couple of podcasts to really dive deep into this with you. So this first one is all about planning. How you plan, what you plan, how far out you plan, productivity definitely comes from planning. Next week, we're going to talk about going pro, being productive, profitable, proactive, and positive. What does that mean? How do you go pro? And then the week after that, I'm going to talk to you about focus. That distraction is the number one thing holding you back from being productive and achieving your goals and your dreams. These podcasts are more like how Lisa thinks. I've always thought this way, even as a child. Like, it's really hard for me to think about my thinking outside of what I just naturally do in order to be productive and proactive. So I'm trying to break it down into a couple of different bite-sized podcasts so you can start to implement along with me. The first thing always comes back to planning. And you've heard me say this over and over again, but in this podcast episode, I want to talk to you specifically about how I plan out my year. And by year, I mean the next 4 months. It is starting to be scientifically proven, you know, I don't have the details of where I heard that from, that you really can only think or plan out 90 to 100 days in the future. I would say the thing that is the most difficult for me at this point in my life is trying to stay ahead of my team and planning out where Organized 365 will be 5 months, 8 months, 12 months from now. Like, I can get my head around the book tour that is 12 months from now because I'm so excited about it and I've been dreaming about it for 10 years. Like, it's a big, huge project. I can get my idea around that. What the podcast will be in October, I have no idea. Like, I can't even think about what the podcast will be in October. I could think about the product that we're coming out with later this month and one that we're coming out in January. But beyond that, I can't even think about what Organize 365 products, offerings, or services that we will have. I just can't project that far out in that much detail. I would say that when I started organizing my home in 2012, in these three trimesters per year, that was the game changer in feeling like I was in control and I was able to achieve my goals. When I started to divide my calendar into from January to the end of the school year, summer, and from September to the end of December. When I started looking at my calendar just in those three chunks and planning each one independently, I started to gain traction. Now, if you've been listening to the Organize 365 podcast for a while, you've heard about these three trimesters and how I plan my year this way. Before this, I was trying to either plan the whole school year and then the summer, or because I was a business, I was trying to divide my year by quarters, you know, January, February, March, April, May, June, fiscal, financial quarters. And that never worked for me because I was a working from home mom, like I had a business from home with the school schedule. And to like do have your goals be done March 31st and start new goals and new financials on April 1st made no sense to me whatsoever because we were in the middle of spring break, spring cleaning, and all of that flowed together. Like February to May flowed together in my head and I had to like draw a line in the sand in the middle of that and divide out my goals. Similarly, when we go to the beach at the end of July, I often will plan through December, like what do I want to do for my family, for my business and everything, and I could project all the way through December. But if we were doing true financial quarterly goals, my goals would have to be achieved by September 30th or 31st, whatever the last day in September is, and then you would start a new goal on October 1st. That's not how the natural energy of life is. Like the natural energy of life is July, you recoup all of your energy. In August, you start to prepare for the fall. You get all back to school stuff. And then you start, Labor Day starts the most productive part of the year. From September all the way sometimes until the first or second week in December, if you can maintain your energy through Thanksgiving. A lot of that, I think, depends on if you work in corporate, if you work at home, if you have Thanksgiving at your house, if you travel for Thanksgiving, or like me, I can maintain my energy through Thanksgiving because we don't have Thanksgiving at my house and we don't travel for Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is really just a long weekend for me. It's not an energy drainer. But if when I was trying to plan my goals quarterly, that September and October energy, which builds on itself, would get cut right in the middle trying to achieve a goal by September 30th and start a new goal on August 1st. So how you look at your year, how you plan, how you set your goals, when you think the goals will be done, that is huge. Now I'm going to be talking about the Organize 365 Planner, which is part of the 100-day program. And the beauty of the planner is not that it's a planner at all. Like, yes, you could definitely flesh out your weekly plans inside of the planner, and it's designed that you can use it that way, but that is not how I use it. I use the planner as my trimester brain dump, goal setting, figuring out where I'm going in the next 4 months in four areas of my life: for my family, for our finances, for my house, and for myself. And when I first started doing this in 2012, honestly, I was only focusing on the house and the family. I was not thinking about myself at all. And financially, we were just in debt up to our eyeballs. Like I had really no plan about that at all. All of 2012, my only goal was to get out from under the chaos, which was my life. How could I get my kids healthy and back on track? And how could I take charge of this house that had become basically one gigantic junk drawer and junk room? No space in my house had any rhyme or reason in January 2012 when I started this blog, quit my job, and came home to try to regain my house. After I got through that first year, 2012, when I started 2013, I was still working on my house, but less so, because I had gotten at least the majority of the decluttering and organizing done. The rest was more like increased organization and productivity, I could kind of put my house a little bit on a back burner. And then my business was starting to pick up as well. So I was able to make finances more of a priority. So in 2013, I set goals for my family, who were starting to come out of the spiral, my house, which was doing pretty good, my finances, which were starting to come out from the huge hole we had dug ourselves in, and I still did nothing for myself. And I took those three parts of the year and I continued to make progress. It wasn't until probably, it was definitely fall of 2016, when I finally put myself on the list. Do you see how far that was? So 12, 13, 14, 15. That's 4.5 years in to starting to plan my life like this, three times a year, setting a goal, prioritizing my family, my house, our money, or ourselves. Fall of 2016 was when I put myself in that goal setting category. And I remember that because it involved me leaving the house. I traveled out to California. I went to a conference. I went to a mastermind day. And I think it was the next year I went to New York. So it was just those two things, a conference and a mastermind day. I was gone for, I think, 10 days, rocked Greg's world, came back, everything was fine. Everybody lived, everything was great. From 2017 on, I have been better able to balance focusing on myself, my house, my money, and my family, mostly because the house didn't need my attention very much anymore. The family was starting to get on a really good trajectory and plan, and there weren't so many things that needed to be fixed or were in chaos anymore. Now we were doing more proactive goals, as in, like, what do you want to be when you grow up, Joey? Like, how can we fund your dreams and find great solutions for you? Our finances were to the point where we were almost done paying off of our debt. And I really started to be able to focus on my self-improvement and journey, not just myself as far as growing a business. So that is how I plan a year. I look at the big picture of what's going on in the next 4 months, those four areas of my life, family, finances, house, and self, and I pick one to focus on. When I say I pick one to focus on, I mean I pick one to focus on. In 2012, January 2012, I focused on getting my house organized. Did I help my kids? Yes. I scheduled all the doctor's appointments. I went everywhere they needed to go. But honestly, every single waking moment that I had extra, I focused on our house, because getting control of that physical space gave me confidence, gave me courage, gave me a tangible solution that I could see that I was making a difference. Turning our family chaos, and you know, you don't share on the podcast as much as maybe you want to hear, it was bad. It was just craziness. You know, you've lived it. You know what I'm talking about. You can't change those things in 4 months, but you can get your kitchen organized in 4 months. You know what I mean? So I just kept focusing on my house. So looking at the next 4 months, September, October, November, December, and thinking about these four areas, your family, your finances, your house, and yourself, what is the one that if you focused on that one and put all of your extra time and attention into that one, you could start to really make a shift? And a shift in any one will start to shift the other ones, but which one could it be? Obviously, for this example, I'm going to use your house. Once you've decided what that thing is, then the next step is to start to look at your morning, afternoon, and evening routines. Because goal setting never is achieved by writing down a big goal and breaking it down into chunks. It is always achieved by changing your routines and your habits. It is the daily habit of organizing and the daily habit of finding more time to learn more about how your specific family works and your house needs to best be organized that will help you achieve that goal. So often when we learn about goal setting, we learn to, like, okay, write the goal down, write the steps that you need to achieve that goal, and then you could even calendar block in those steps. Yes. Can you achieve a goal that way? Yes. But it's hard. It's hard because, first of all, do you really know the steps you need to achieve that goal? I usually don't. Usually, I don't know all the steps needed to achieve that goal in the beginning. I might know the first couple I need to take, but I don't know the whole plan. Second, you have to calendar that in on your calendar or you will never do it. And the second that you stop calendaring it on your calendar or you don't know what the next step is in your goal, you stop doing it altogether and then you don't achieve your goal. And Third, that's just not how life works. Like, life works based on what you do every day. Like, what you do every day is how your life is going to go. So if you can change your morning, afternoon, and evening routines, you're much more likely to achieve your goal. Now, do not change your morning, afternoon, and evening routines all at the same time. We're just going to change one. If you want some more about this, you can go to my very first episode I did about morning and afternoon routines is episode 62. Or a year or two later, I recorded a couple more. I did episode 192, which is morning routines for the modern day woman, because all the morning routines that I can find are like men, either without kids or without kid responsibilities. Like, I don't know how they're doing those morning routines. So I give you mine. And then episode 193 is about afternoon and evening routines. And I really think afternoon routines are the key. So we'll be talking about that. So when I look at my fall morning, afternoon, and evening routines, you need to make really small incremental changes. So my morning routine is staying exactly the same. I'm just trying to get up at 6:30 instead of 7. So that's the only change that I made. My evening routine is staying the same. This is a routine that I've established a long time ago that really works for me and I think would help you as well. I plan tomorrow's food, like what I'm going to eat the next day. I plan tomorrow's organizing task. I complete my food journal and I do 10 minutes of exercise. So that's my evening routine that I do before bed. The afternoon routine is the key to helping you achieve your goals. Morning routines are great. If you want to get up earlier and do these things in the morning, that's fine. It doesn't work for me. You could do these things at night, but more often than not, you tend to say, oh, I'm too tired, I'll do it tomorrow night, and you tend to not do them if you put them all the way to your before bed routine. The afternoon routine can be one of two times. If you work from home and you have school-age kids, your afternoon routine may be like 4 or 4:30 until 6 or 6:30. If you work outside of the home, whether you have children or not, your afternoon routine might be like 7 to 8 or 8:30. So that time either before dinner or after dinner that you are home where you can start task stacking and putting things in there. I love to, so often we look at our morning routine, work, dinner, evening routine, bed. Well, what happens after work and before dinner and after dinner and before bed? What is that time for? What goes in that time? And I think that if you call that your afternoon block of time, you may one day a week spend that time for exercise and going out to dinner with a friend. You may spend that time doing all your laundry and catching up on your household chores. But that is also the best time to put in whatever the goal is that you're trying to reach. In this case, it's the 100-day program. So during this time, you're going to put in whatever the 100-day program task of the day is. And I have this at least 30 minutes. You can have it up to 90 minutes. When I was doing it in 2012, it was definitely 90 minutes for me because I was so far behind and I so wanted to get organized. So I would, my routine back in 2012 was like this. It went from like 4 to 7:30. So at 4 o'clock, the kids would get home to school from school with me. I would go through their backpacks, any homework that they needed to do. I would start or I would move the laundry along. I would start to get dinner ready. Yes, in 2012, I did dinner. I would start to get dinner ready. I would go through the mail, you know, put that in the Sunday basket. I would pick up and clean up the kitchen. And then we would have dinner about 5:30. I like an early dinner. So we'd have dinner at 5:30. We would be done by 6. The kids would be off to whatever they wanted to do. Greg would hang around and talk with me. We would do the dishes. We'd put them in the dishwasher. And we'd be done by about 6:15 or 6:30. Then at 6:15 or 6:30, I would spend the next hour organizing our house from 6:15 or 6:30 to 7:30. Usually, the family didn't need me at this time. So I was already in the kitchen. That's why the 100-day program started in the kitchen. And I would just organize a drawer or I would organize a cabinet or I would keep making that space as good as I could. I would grab the laundry, bring it upstairs with me, fold it on the bed while I watched TV that night. That was my routine. As I got out of the kitchen and the kitchen got organized, then as soon as the kitchen was cleaned up and ready to go at 6:30, I would go up in my bedroom and I started going through my closet, going through my master bedroom, going through my master bathroom. It took me weeks. That's why it takes 3 weeks in the 100-day program and you're probably going to have to do it more than once. And I just kept chipping away at these areas until they got organized. Now, I want to project out a little bit into, let's say, end of October. Let's say you're doing all this and it's the end of October. This is what it would look like. Still, 4 o'clock, everything I told you up until 6:30. Then at 6:30, instead of going to whatever areas in the 100-day program, maybe the family room, garage, whatever it is, I would make sure everything in the kitchen was 100% put away. I would go upstairs and I would make sure everything in the bedroom, bathroom, master closet was 100% put away. And then I would go to the next area. And I think that's the thing that sometimes gets missed in the 100-day program is once the kitchen is organized, we feel like it's not going to need maintenance. It is going to need maintenance. So every once in a while, I would just make sure that everything was getting put away everywhere that it needed to be. All right, so that's how you can add your goal into an afternoon routine. Now, with that afternoon routine, you're going to get through the 100-day daily tasks, and they are designed to be done in as little as 15 minutes if you want to, but they will work really great if you can give them 30 minutes to an hour. The next thing you're going to do is review weekly and start to add any extra time that you have towards this goal. So when I was doing the 100-day program myself in 2012, you heard my daily routine. But then I added like a 1 to 3 hour, some days, all day, Saturday task. Like, how do I really make progress in this area? I'm going to put a whole bunch of time on Saturday in this area. Also, I found any other pocket of time to help me towards getting my house organized. Sometimes that meant listening to podcasts in the car about, you know, how to organize spaces, how to better organize my time, just keeping my mindset right on the areas that I was already organizing, like you're doing listening to this podcast. Other times it would be like, let's say it was 4 o'clock and I had the laundry done and I was doing the dinner and I had 15 minutes before dinner and I was just standing in the kitchen. I'd think, okay, what's one more thing I can do in whatever area I was already organizing? So let's say I was already organizing the master closet. And I had 15 minutes before dinner. Everything's ready. I have 15 minutes. I would set the timer on my phone so that I didn't burn the food because that's how I am. You have to do that for me. And I might be able to say, oh yeah, I have donations upstairs. I'll go upstairs. I'll grab those. I'll put those in the car. Or I'm going to go collect all the dry cleaning shirts. I'm going to put those in the car. You know, anything that I could do that would better prepare me so that when I got my time later to focus in on that task, I could make even further, faster progress. And along that, with the donations, like I would always go to Goodwill on Saturdays and Sundays and drop stuff off, but maybe it was a Saturday night and I'd run over, or Wednesday night, I'd run over and I'd drop more stuff off. So those are some ways where I would find extra time to put towards that goal. All right, here are some questions that I want to ask you about planning your most productive year, September to December. Number one, what is the one thing you want to accomplish and check it off your list by December 31st? What's the one goal that you have? Number two, what do you need to do to change your routine to make that goal a reality? So I really want you to think about your routines and how you can add in this goal or this extra time into your daily schedule. Number three, what program or accountability do you need to help you succeed? So often we have a goal and we know we want to get there, but do you know the steps to get there? The 100-day program will get your home organized because it's a step-by-step solution, which leads to number four. If your child had this goal, how would you support them? Like if your kid wants to sign up for soccer, if they want to take drama classes, what do? You enroll them in the course, right? You buy them the supplies that they need in order to do whatever activity. I challenge you to do the same thing for yourself. If your goal is to get your house organized and you've been working at it for months and years and you've made progress, but you're not done yet, maybe you just need the 100-day program to take you over the finish line, to show you how to organize the spaces that you haven't been able to organize on your own, to give you the accountability and community that you need to make that goal checked off your list and done. Sign up. You can enroll and join us this month. I would love to have you enroll in the next class of the 100-day program and guide you along as you get your home organized. All right, next week, we're going to talk about going pro. Productive, profitable, proactive, and positive. See you next week.